Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines. Our next segment, we will have Assemblywoman Bass. There are over 84,000 youth in California foster care system, more than any other state. 70% of the youth are Black or Latino. The overwhelming majority of children removed from homes are from L.A. County. On November 21st, State Assemblywoman Karen Bass, who represents California 47th District here in Los Angeles, will host a public hearing on California's foster care system to begin statewide efforts to engage relative caregivers, foster youth, state agencies, and policy leaders in critical policy reform. Welcome to the show, Assemblywoman Bass.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, why don't you help us first understand the origins of the crisis here in California and nationwide that's facing the foster care system?
Sure. And by the way, that's a great song for this segment. I like that. This has been a longstanding problem in our society, and there's no way around looking at it as an issue other than one of poverty. Because what happens when you remove children from homes, the overwhelming majority of these children are poor. The government intervention that happens in poor folks' homes is very different than upper middle class homes. And so poverty is the first issue. The second issue is the drug problem, because there was an explosion in the number of kids that were removed from home when the crack cocaine crisis hit in the 80s and the 90s. And that has been one of the critical factors that has led to the explosion in the number of kids removed. And so at the same time you have an explosion in the number of kids, you don't have an explosion in the number of staff that take care of those kids. So in terms of the social workers that are charged with making the decision as to whether or not a child is removed.
Well, you know, we were reading some of the stuff that that your staff sent us, and there was, on one hand, you know, there's been some very important critical national guidelines around foster care and the foster care system that has been implemented, yet California has failed many of the tests that the national guidelines have set up. What's going on in that particular correlation between what the state is implementing and what the national policy has been pushing?
Well, you know, California has fallen behind in just a number of areas, and this is one of them. So, for example, the state of New York was having a critical problem with the foster care system, and they put the resources into it in terms of hiring more social workers so the caseloads could be dropped. And so, consequently, New York has less than half the number of kids in foster care than we do in the state of California. And so, although the guidelines have changed federally, the standards have been raised, the resources have not been raised in the state of California as compared with other states. In fact, we've cut the budget.
And what's the main correlation there? What's creating that gap in funding? What's creating the gap of wanting to move forward with some real reform inside the...
I believe completely it's a question of, this is a sector that has no voice. Mm-hmm. These are children, and these are poor children on top of it. And who speaks on their behalf? You know, that is absolutely the reason for it. And so one of the reasons why I chose to focus on this sector is because it's a sector of our communities that have been studied to death. I mean, mm-hmm. academics, mm-hmm. foundations, government agencies have all studied the system, and there's lots of recommendations. So everybody knows what's wrong with the system. Everybody has these great recommendations, but there really isn't a champion or somebody to say, you know, we need to take this on. And frankly, expose the state of California for child abuse and child neglect. When a child is removed from home, the state then becomes the parent. And if the state was viewed like an individual family would be viewed, the state would be charged with neglect.
Hey, Karen, this is Tammy, one of the co-hosts here. You know, earlier in the Uprising show, they had a guest, Nell Burnson, who wrote All Alone in the World, to talk about the children of the incarcerated. And California ranks high amongst those incarcerated, particularly Black and Latino, and the criminalization of Black and Latino urban life. Can you talk, do you see a correlation between
Absolutely.
The egregious laws of three strikes and Prop 21 and who's in the foster care system?
Well, you know what? It's all the same issue. It's all interconnected, right? And so 50% of the kids whose parents are incarcerated wind up being incarcerated themselves. And I don't know if she, you know, talked about that particular statistic. A huge percentage of foster children wind up being incarcerated. Because you know what happens, and this is so horrible, when a foster child hits the age of 18, that's considered the age of emancipation, mm-hmm. and they are literally kicked to the curb, which means the foster parent no longer has the resources to support that child, and then they face the decision of packing the kids' bags and putting them out on the street. Now, you can even talk about middle-class 18-year-olds, and there's not too many middle-class 18-year-olds that are completely self-sufficient with, you know, at that age.
And then, so what's the governor's responsibility on this? And we understand that there's actually been a deficit in terms of how much money is going to be allocated to the foster care budget this year.
Right, right, right. As a matter of fact, you know, I had a bill this last legislative cycle that called for an increase in the number of inspections to foster homes. Believe it or not, foster homes are inspected about once every 5 years. And my legislation calls for the homes to be inspected once a year. That didn't make it through the process because of the cost attached to it, and in fact, they cut back. So, you know, I believe that this is an issue that is really not on his radar screen. It is on his wife's radar screen. It's on Maria's radar screen. And since he lost the election last week and he said that he needed to listen to his wife, maybe this is an opportunity for us to raise the level, you know, of awareness on his plate in terms of this issue.
Karen, why don't you help us run through at least some of the major pieces of reform that you would like to see? What are some concrete things that you think need to happen to mend this question?
The focus of my select committee, and you should know that this is a committee that's going to be ongoing, and I plan to make this a focus of my tenure when I'm in the legislature. Two areas of emphasis in the beginning, and one is the teenagers they're emancipating out of the system, and the other ones are the other area is the grandmothers, the aunties, and the uncles, mm-hmm. the relatives that are taking care of these children. And I chose to focus on those two sectors because even within this arena, those two sectors have even less voice than the sector overall, because you have foster parents who have their organizations, foster family agencies that have their organizations, group homes. They have advocacy organizations that lobby on their behalf in Sacramento. Even the youth actually have an organization called the California Youth Connection. But the relatives virtually have nothing, and their voice is just not heard. So those are the two sectors that we're going to be looking at. And you know what? One of the things that is really awful is that if you are not related to the child and you are a licensed foster parent, you get a check, you get cash assistance, plus you get supportive services. If you're a grandmom, it's considered your moral obligation. And although on paper the people from the various agencies swear to me that there's an abundance of resources, every time we have a focus group of grandmothers, they can't seem to connect to the resources that exist.
And of course, you know, the burden of having to even raise, you know, almost a second family for a lot of families. I know, like on the bus, that's a constant conversation we have with a lot of our members or a lot of people on the bus who describe, you know, like, I had to raise one child and now I'm raising the other one, totally assuming them wanting to take responsibility, but almost like you're saying, almost nothing left for them to even be able to use any tools to move their child forward in a real way where they can grow them up in a real safe and good environment that the children need.
Absolutely, and let me paint a picture for you of what happens. So, you know, a grandmother gets a call in the middle of the night that DCFS wants to know if they can drop the children off to her so they don't go in the foster care system. The children gets dropped off to her. Then the grandmother, you know, goes X amount of time before she ever hears from DCFS again, so she doesn't know how she's to connect into anything. So typically she gets no resources. When the kids become adolescents, that's when, and frankly they act like normal adolescents, which means they rebel and can be a little obnoxious, then that's when they change from the child welfare system to the delinquency system. And then essentially they're on the penitentiary track. Mm-hmm. Because once you are, you know, booted out of the child welfare system and put in the delinquency system, services stop and punishment begins. And where you have a family that if they had intervention, because obviously the kids have been traumatized, you could probably prevent some of that penitentiary tracking.
How's the inside track inside the two houses, both in the Assembly and the Senate, on this question? How has both representatives from both parties been on this question, at least from what you've gathered up to this point?
Well, I'm actually hopeful that this is an area that can have bipartisan support. I mean, you know, for example, the members on my select committee, well, one, are both Democrats and Republicans, mm-hmm. but I invited people to be on the committee that have a track record of doing legislation on this issue. And after having done that, a number of assembly members called me and are interested, you know, in participating, both Democrat and Republican. So it's my hope that people will recognize that, you know, this group of children are the most vulnerable children in our society. And it really is scandalous that they are treated in the manner in which they are. Later on tonight, I'm going to meet with a group of teenagers who are all in the foster care system. One of the things I've been doing is I've established a whole process as to how I'm doing the select committee. Mm-hmm. So the committee doesn't meet until next Tuesday, but I've already had about 10 meetings with grandmothers and aunties and kids and foster parents so that everybody can have a voice before the committee ever meets. It's going to take a lot of community participation to raise the level of moral outrage that is going to be required to change this.
So, Karen, can you talk about what's going to happen the 21st and what we can do?
Sure. The 21st will be, you know, the formal hearing, which means we're going to do, since it'll be the very first committee hearing, we're going to do an overview of foster care, kind of the status of foster care nationally, state, and then counties. There'll be several assembly members there representing a lot of different districts around the state of California. And then at the end of it, you know, we will take testimony. And so, you know, the public is definitely invited. It'll be in a large auditorium. And know that this is the first hearing. There will be many. And then there's also the whole community advisory process that is happening. And it's just critical for people to come out. And as we fight the criminalization of our population, mm-hmm. it begins in childhood. and this is one of the major ways it happens.
Do you have a location or a time for that, Karen?
Well, yes, the time is at 1 p.m., and people can call my district office for the directions. It'll be in downtown Los Angeles, 323-937-4747.
So if people have questions or want to RSVP, you can call 323-937-4747.
Right. And you asked me a few minutes ago, what are some of the specific things we want to do? You know, we would like to raise the level of support for grandmothers and relatives that is similar to what foster parents have. Mm-hmm. We would also like to have more supportive services for the teenagers so that, really, in my opinion, the age of emancipation should not be 18. I really think it should be 25. because, you know, again, in today's economy, I might have been able to have emancipated many years ago at mm-hmm. that age because it was a different economy. In today's economy, kids cannot do that.
Well, thank you again, Assemblywoman Karen Bass.
You're very welcome.
And stay tuned. We'll be back with Professor Timothy Tyson.